if I can get a non-plastic straw.
Right.
So I asked them, and they actually had a more truck drawn.
Yeah.
And the reason they had
a more truck
drawn is because they have a contract to provide food for the basketball camp
in the U.S.
So they had disposable or recyclable.
Yep.
And if you look at this group, yep, then how much plastic you have? You know, when you're talking about athletes,
polystyrene has a blown,
and yes, it has whiteness, it has kind of titanium dioxide,
and plasticizers.
This is polystyrene. There's no plasticizer in polyethylene, it's just a polyethylene.
And then they have a strong.
There's a dye in it, and it has no metals in it. It's designed to not be done in
great idea.
Polypropylene, they have high density polyethylene, and polypropylene. You do put a plastic cipher in high density polypropylene.
Waste, the paper is your choice. If your issue is water,
texture of plastic.
I wanted to mention this to someone, because my card may not be asked. I really wish we could have a dialogue about drinking fountains. In my opinion, all of these are fads. Those of us who are old enough to remember glass, recyclable bottles, no one ever used to do. I am appalled at the cases of water bottles that people go through everywhere, even at meetings where they bring it to give out to people as refreshments or whatever. And my question is, can you find what I've been unable to, and that is anything online about safety of drinking fountains? Because I know of very few, even of my friends, who trust them. And yet, when I do the research, everything I read says that unless the stream is interfered with, it's a safe source of water. If the water is safe that runs through it, and it doesn't have old piping with soldering that's dangerous and lead. Therefore, my question is, what is anybody doing to make drinking fountains another viable source of water, unless you live in Flint, Michigan, and you have good reason to be worried about the water supply? Because all of this is to sell something. In Florida, we need safe drinking fountains that people trust. Have you ever discussed this in any of your meetings?
We do fairly regularly, so we're in the process on campus of replacing a lot of drinking fountains. People don't like the idea that you touch it or that your mouth goes near it. But we've got ones where it's got a light sensor and you put your bottle or your cup up to it and it fills and there's no touching involved whatsoever. Yes, exactly.
We've been trying to get them to put them in at the baseball field.
Yep.
But in terms of the safety of the street, for example, I've never seen a sticker on the drinking fountain that says, this is cleaned daily. It's always a matter of selling something, isn't it? It's all product-based that got us in this dilemma in the first place. I wish one of you would bring that up.
I'll stick to the small water industry anytime I can.
If you have a question for our panelists, we're asking that you write it on a card and we'll come and pick it up and ask it. Do people have questions? Do you have a card?
Oh, no,
I'll take a card. While we're collecting questions, I know a couple of the panelists mentioned that there's really not one good alternative product versus another, but we haven't really touched upon reusable, durable items and making sure that people bring their own cups and whatnot to events. There's also opportunities to bring your own utensils and things of that nature. So when we're talking about reducing waste, there's many things that each of us can do to do that. Okay, well, and I'll go ahead and start.
I could say something about that.
Yes, thank you.
So that was one other thing that I had done a little bit of research on was the U.S. Food Code and reusable things that you can maybe bring to a restaurant. And the code is a little bit unclear with that right now. For convenience stores, as they're regulated by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, it seems very clear that you can take a cup and you can go and refill your coffee at a convenience store, but it's less clear about if you wanted to order takeout, for example, from a restaurant and bring your own container, and would they be allowed to do that? The code seems a little bit unclear. I did call the department, and they weren't able to give a really satisfactory answer.
I have an answer for that.
to develop a hammock and are encouraged to bring containers to take out for your things. And you can't send them into the kitchen. You can't contaminate the kitchen. They plate the things, and then you dump it from the plate into your takeout container. So I think that's what any restaurant could do.
Yeah, and if the code is somewhat unclear, then there's some discretion of the restaurant or business owners. So also going to them and asking if they would be comfortable with mm-hmm. doing that as well would be an option.
Hi, I'm a UF certified Florida master naturalist and currently in a campaign to reduce plastic straw use. And one of the suggestions I have is to just, when you order your drink, say no straw please. Mm-hmm. Or if they deliver a straw to you with paper wrapping on it, just hand it back to them and say no thanks. It's cost saving for the restaurant to have less dispensing of plastic straws, actually, so it goes along with cost-saving measure that is one of the big impediments to reducing plastic straws. It is more expensive, but there are paper straw companies here in the United States. They're certified by FDA and not with non-toxic material. They're not all melty like the old straws used to be. They're made of a harder material. It is more expensive. There's no doubt about it. But if you just say no straw, please, from the beginning, that helps the issues all across the board.
Matt, tell them what you did at UF with the straws.
Yeah. So, main campus is in discussion about eliminating straws right now, or at least moving to a compostable version. But in the football stadium was where we decided that was sort of an easy, low-risk pilot. No, it's not. So we had 90,000 people, and in 2013, the stadium went to no landfill cans. All the cans are either compost or recycling. That doesn't mean that every product in there fits into those two things, but we work with it anyway. But anyway, athletics catering, when we looked at compostable straws for them, there was a significant cost increase for it. And we worked through, a lot of it is behavioral. And so the conversation was that many of them were trained when they handed the drink across the pass, the straw was already on top of it. And so it's a retraining of your counter customers. Then they still thought that people would complain about it, so they put them up on the front of the counter. And at that point, you've seen it at football games, when people will grab one and 40 come pulling with it. So they had a lot of losses with that. They moved it behind the counter so that people had to see it to ask for it. Hardly anybody asked for it. So then they moved it below the counter. And so now football games, they actually use 90% fewer straws than they did 4 years ago. And it's all just a matter of that digital process.
I'd like to speak to the straw mm-hmm. thing too then. On a much smaller scale, I'm a part of a group of friends that meet weekly for lunch at a specific restaurant, and we asked a year or so ago if the restaurant would just stop bringing straws when they bring out the water for everybody. And they were like, well, sure, I guess we could do that. And so there are 15 or 20 of us, and we haven't used a straw in the last year. And the restaurant was, after a week or so of getting used to not automatically putting the straw in there, they got used to it, and they have now started letting people ask for straws throughout the restaurant. It's a behavioral thing. Many folks who bartenders for a living will tell you that they are just trained to when you put the drink up, you just put the straw in. You just do it. You bang the paper out and you put it in. It's a question of changing that behavior, because again, most people don't really care whether there's a straw or not. They're used to having it, and you play with it or whatever, chew on it when you have it, but if it's not there, you don't really miss it for the most part. So it doesn't hurt to ask a restaurant that you go to regularly if they'll just stop bringing a straw, and they probably will be happy to do that.
This question would be directed to Harvey on the city side. Will there be an incentive for the businesses to switch to an alternative before the bans?
This is kind of the incentive period. This is while we're having the discussion. You know, there's not going to be a financial incentive. There's no ordinance right now. Let me be real clear about that. So maybe somebody will come up with a terrific idea for an incentive, but we're in a period right now where we're trying to help folks wherever possible have time to figure out what the alternatives are. I don't see any kind of financial incentive for moving forward. There's a, and maybe there are great ideas out there, but I'm not familiar with them. So.
Publish which restaurants are doing it, and I'll go patronize them as that.
This question is, the city of Gainesville or Olathe County considering asking the legislative delegation to reconsider the preemption of fees for single-use plastic bags? And we actually haven't touched upon this yet, but the state of Florida does have a preemption on local governments passing bans on single-use items. So I would like for the panelists to talk a little bit more about that and then also to answer this question.
The state of Florida preempts a lot of things. It preempts local governments from doing lots of things, and that's one of them. We could certainly add it to our to what we ask our lobbyists to work on with the legislature. I don't think it would probably get very far. It's there for a reason. It's not that that particular preemption is not particularly old. It's in response to communities trying to do this. So. Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to ask, but I seriously doubt we would get very far with it.
I had the great pleasure to be on a panel that the Chamber of Commerce organized several months back that had a member from the Florida Retail Federation, and she was the lawyer who wrote that preemption. She was very proud of it, and also very clearly stated that the Florida Retail Federation would put everything they possibly had behind every municipality that tries to go after that preemption. And so there's a lot more here beyond just this in terms of local control versus Tallahassee control on things. And they were well in advance of this. That thing went in place in 2005, 2006, I think.
I think that's right.
Yeah. And so there's a variety of those things. And so just as an example, and there were some wonderful people that were on there, but Publix alone sent 7 representatives to the chamber's meeting to talk about the plastic bag ban. So there is a lot of very, very large corporate interest in keeping this down across the board.
So one thing that we can do is that we can create policies within our own local governments and our local organizations that says we won't use these products or let people use these products. For example, somebody just came to me and said, this is what the senior center uses. Uh-huh. So one way to get around the preemption is that you can do it by policy within individual organizations. So you can reach out to your organizations, and of course, as local government, we can do that. So that's one way to do it.
Sorry, so for those of us who aren't familiar with the preemption, is that just saying that local governments cannot ban single-use plastics or single-use plastic bags? Okay.
But.
So
but.
I was just wondering if you could speak to, because what the reason that we came to this was to talk about potentially Olathe County. My understanding was doing that. So what is Olathe County do then?
But the exemption, the stay of execution.
So
after the state put in this preemption, some conservation groups sued the state. There was a stay on that. That's when Coral Gables came in with their banning of plastic bags. And my understanding is that while this stay is in effect, and it's been in effect for a couple of years now, any other communities that get in there will be grandfathered if the stay is actually enforced. I mean, the ban is enforced.
Coral Gables is particularly unique in that regard. So there's a weird clause in the 1965 state constitution that singles out Coral Gables in particular for allowing them additional home rule that other entities do not. So it's not the stay that allows Coral Gables to be able to do that. The stay is what's allowing the coastal communities to do this right now. But I think, to your point, the conversation at the policy committee is around Coral Gables is currently in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals to see whether the state's ban holds or not. The question is whether if the city of Gainesville and Olathe County get involved right now, whether there will be an opportunity to kind of ride the coattails as that moves forward in there. But that will ultimately determine kind of at the state level what's allowed to move forward. And again, Coral Gables is in a unique position to allow that to happen.
What's the timeline for that stay?
It's the stay? It's until the Third Circuit Court of Appeals decides, and then it goes further, and, you know, for all we know, it'll go to the Supreme Court. Uh-oh, yep, exactly.
So looking at a ban versus a fee, is there anything at the state level that would preempt us from passing a fee if that was something our city or county would be interested in doing?
It's part of the legislation. A fee or a ban.
I think that one is a ban, not a fee, but I'm not certain on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
I think state government in general doesn't allow fees unless they're invoked by the state government.
Okay.
So I have a question, because, you know, you were talking about the negative use of the word ban. So, you know, if we're going to do something in Gainesville, seems like you have to have an education situation going on with children and schools, and that makes it a positive statement of, you know, be responsible, bring your own bag, that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's how I got my parents to stop smoking in the 50s, you know, it was like, everybody knew, oh, smoking causes cancer. So if you can really educate children and bring them along with it, why can't we start some kind of a campaign like that
from
the city and county that has some effective positive statements about your responsibility for yourself?
I'm happy to address that. In part of our conversation, and I should have mentioned this earlier, we talked about the absolute need at City to run a campaign. How many of you remember the Big Blue campaign from about 20 years ago? Yeah, I can't get that out of my head still, but... that's an example of a pretty effective public relations campaign to change attitudes and to get people to use the Big Blue and the Big Orange. We recycle in this community because we did a really good award-winning public relations campaign to get that in people's heads. That's always up against the convenience factor and the fact that, you know, when you go to a store, they give you that nice convenient bag if you forgot yours. So it's a difficult thing to do, but yes, we have committed to the idea that we would, in as part of a ban, also do an education campaign to remind people why this is useful. My preference is to never ever have to fine anybody for breaking a ban. I would prefer that we all go in this together and that the ban is entirely useless and not worthwhile, because it's an extra burden on codes enforcement to have to enforce this. I would rather we are all in this together, and that's again why I didn't vote for the initial idea of a ban, but rather, yes, we want to do this, but not before we have a chance to have a community conversation, which is what we're having. We've had this is the fourth meeting I've been to about this, with, I would say, probably 25 or 30% of you are the same at every meeting, but that means that there's a whole lot of folks who are different at every meeting, too. So the word is getting out more and more. We're never going to get, you know, 132,000 people into these meetings, but, you know, we're going to get some people who are probably opinion leaders, and we'll go talk to your families and your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors and start to get the word out. And that's what we're hoping for. You know, let's talk about that. Maybe it's not a good thing to use a styrofoam plate because it's inexpensive. Maybe we need to make a different choice with that. Start that conversation in among your friends and get the word out. That's far superior to a ban. We'll end up having to do the ban, but
yeah, I mean, that's a major amount of, you know, people in this.
Yeah. And the truth is, the school system uses an entirely different kind of recycling than the rest of us do. So
yeah.
There's always, that's a constant push-pull between governmental organizations. But absolutely, and you know, again, UF is absolutely leading the way on this. And there aren't a lot of this age group here tonight, but the students that at UF and Santa Fe that I work with as interns and things, man, they are incredibly responsible environmentally. They do a tremendous job of being aware and making the people around them aware of what it makes sense to use and what it doesn't make sense to use and what the harm is to use things like styrofoam plates. So kids are getting the message. There is no question about that. It's the rest of us that need to up our game a little bit.
A question from the audience. If the added cost of using a compostable cup is, say, 10 cents, would it be a problem for businesses to add a fee for the item or forgive the fee if a customer brings in their own cup?
Sounds like that one's for me. I don't think you would get away with adding a fee, but I mean, I think that the restaurant or a food facility could easily increase their pricing to cover it. And if it was a, let's just say 10 cents for argument's sake, and they knew they didn't have, some of them were gonna come in with their own cup, so they wouldn't have to provide a cup, then they could maybe meet somewhere in the middle, you know, 7-8 cents, for example. And I don't think it would be a full 10 cent pass along. But I can tell you that most restaurant owners do consider a dime a move. When they're looking at their menu, as crazy as that sounds, they are looking at nickels and dimes, and they're considering all of that.
Tim, you don't have to speak anymore.
There are restaurants where you're not going to notice if there's an extra 10 or 20 cents on the bill. But there are also restaurants who you will absolutely notice. If I'm driving a work truck through with four or five guys on a work project, and we drive through to get lunch somewhere, and the bill goes from, you know, if I'm used to it being $20, and all of a sudden it's $21 or $22 because of all the upcharges for not having, for something different than styrofoam, I'm going to notice that. I'm going to complain to the business owner. There are businesses where this really has an impact. And there are some where they can pass along the cost, and most customers won't say anything. There are always some customers who will, but let's not kid ourselves. This is going to have an impact on some businesses, and that's why I really, really want to try to find find the right alternatives for those folks. Did you have a follow-up on that?
Yes, in the question of fee versus ban, to get ready for this meeting, I've been through about 3,000 pages of documents because I thought it was so easy to come up with alternatives and see this all together. But if we decide, if we think the styrofoam boxes and things and the single-use plastic bags are not good, if you ban them, they're gone. And the only thing you have to do is regulate that the shops don't carry the single-use plastic bags. And then it's over with. What some places have done is they've banned the single-use plastic bags and put a fee on paper bags that people might use in exchange for that. Now, I've looked up the thing, I mean, I've read about fees and how people think of fees, and they see the fees that if they're imposed when a single-use plastic bag is taken away, they see a fee as some legislation puts it that the retailer takes all the money. So the people say, ah, that bag was put in there so that they can get more money. Some legislation is for the governmental agency to take the money. And they say, ah, oh, here we go, another tax. And then in some cases, it's split with the agency and the retailer, and they say, ah, both of you are getting money. So you do it for free. And if you do something like in California, there's an article that came out in 2007, saying it's been a year since California banned single-use plastic bags. The world didn't end. There was no great problem from it. Shoppers did not revolt or issue a recall. So once it's done, it's over with.
That's true, but there is a there's a period in there where there is some pain for some folks. I mean, it's a reality. I don't want to minimize that. I think it's something we need to do. I think it's a place we need to get to, but I don't want to minimize that it is going to hurt some business owners.
Real quick, because that's close to an incentive one as well. So there's the idea of giving people their dime back if they bring a reusable. Just as an example, though, a lot of people don't respond to that. So on campus Starbucks usually distribute about 30,000 drinks per week on campus. Of that, 4% is in a reusable mug, and they give a 25-cent fee discount back to that one. So 25 cents is not enough to motivate 96% of the purchases on campus Starbucks. And so it is a very, very difficult one behaviorally, and it's also difficult to figure out what the right incentive level might be for people too.
This question is for Harvey. Moving forward, have commissioners discussed separate bans, single-use plastic bans first, followed by the bigger beast of styrofoam?
Styrofoam is probably the first one to go, would be my guess. We talked about single-use plastic bags. We talked about styrofoam. I think there's more of an appetite on the commission for styrofoam to go first. We've also talked about straws. And again, I'm glad to see the community conversation around straws is ahead of us on that. I'd love to not ban anything. I'd love for it to stop instead of having to be banned. But I think just logistically on this commission, styrofoam's probably on the way out first, would be my guess.
Next question is, there evidence that shows that polystyrene and plastics in the environment affect human health?
There are, there's a large debate about that. It depends on multiple things about how it's getting into the environment, what constituent that you're talking about, and there's a lot of research kind of gearing up for that. A lot of the studies that have sort of taken that on have just begun in the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, there's probably a lot before that, but not as sort of definitive, but it really is still highly debated how much it's getting into our systems and into the even the environment. I'm talking about more of the contaminants type of thing. So it really is not, very, very well defined.
This question is for Matt. Would the University of Florida consider coordinating or facilitating a purchasing pool to reduce costs for small businesses who want to use new materials?
It's a really tough conversation because it would be very, very difficult. So for example, I've worked with the folks at Ocamic several times, even though they've got a connection with the university. Their purchasing pathways are completely independent from the rest of the university. So for example, in our dining facilities, in our services, Aramark is the corporate group that I mentioned. They're buying at a national level, and that's their economy of scale that allows them to do that. There's no way for us to pass that cost on to private businesses because we're a state entity. And so it would be very difficult for us to do it. That's not to say that there aren't people in entrepreneurship or the School of Business that might not be able to work on some of those aspects as well. But from an operational standpoint, the university could not do that.
Could you use the questions on cards first, please, as you said you would?
Okay, so let me take a stab at this. The way our industry, and I suspect a lot of industries work, is it's very competitive nowadays. Let's use Amazon as an example of an entity that would make everybody have to become more competitive. So the average restaurant here could order, let's just say paper cups, just to pick an item, online. And that item could show up in, with their UPS delivery. And Amazon, for the most part, is going to be about as cheap as you can find an item. I mean, I think we could say that pretty safely. So for our company and for our major competitors, for all competitors, we're basically all trying to sell things for as cheap as we can. I mean, that's the whole competitive nature of things. So the notion that a group in Gainesville could drive that down further, it's hopeful, but it's not very likely. I think we're all dealing with such a competitive environment that we start from there. We start from cost and work up. And that's just kind of how things work nowadays. I don't know if that answers that question.
And you all are, you have multiple local businesses that go through you all. You all are the power purchase. And so for anybody to get a smaller dollar amount for it, they'd have to be the equivalent of right. you.
And I should say, we actually are nationally branded for our pricing as well. We're not just one company. We're part of the buying group. So we approach companies as a national entity, just like Aramark would or, you know, any of our competitors.
This is for Harvey. Does the proposed ban include plastic on plastics? Include healthcare field?
There is no ordinance right now. we were having lots and lots of discussions. I would imagine that things that are safety related, things that are food safety related, things that are healthcare safety related will be exempted. Convenience, inexpense and convenience items, those are what will probably end up being in the ordinance. Things that are food safety, honestly food safety related, or honestly healthcare safety related, probably will not be banned. Won't be banned. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, if there's a legitimate reason to be using that as a safety issue, that's not going to get banned. I think you could take that to the bank. But again, there is no ordinance right now. We have not written the ordinance. Now, something that's when we're talking about the ordinance, something that has been talked about and that might end up in there if we could find a good way to do it is an exemption for very small businesses. We haven't figured out, and I haven't heard the right way to write that, but for very, very small businesses, we may be able to exempt them. There are the model ordinance that we looked at from a couple of other places did exempt small businesses. Problem is, that small business is going to have to come in and prove to somebody that their sales are below number X or something, through some measure, be able to show that they really are a very small business and not a large business masquerading as a small business. There are lots of ways to scam that kind of system. I don't know what the right way to build something like that in is, but there may be a way to do it to keep from harming very small local businesses. Because again, the idea here is not to hurt anybody, but to help everybody, or as many people as we possibly can. And if a way to do that is through some exemptions, happy to do that. I just want to see less styrofoam floating down the creek. I mean, when at the end of the day, that's what I'm trying to accomplish here.
And some of the questions are a bit outside of the scope of today's talk, which is about polystyrene and plastic bag bans. So I'm going to leave these for another discussion. If there are any questions from the audience members, I'd invite you all to speak them now. If you didn't have a chance, put them on the card.
I don't agree. My question on the card refers to construction plastic that's sold at Lowe's and Home Depot. Where was that manufactured? And also the fencing that's available. That's a huge quantity of plastic and should all be manufactured in this country from recycled plastic, including, I assume, plastic bags.
I can't really address that.
I can speak to it a little bit, just in terms of, so we try to track that for our students, where some of our materials go, and then also because we have a LEED Gold standard on campus, we spend a lot of time looking at our materials resources as they come into the buildings. Some of that is manufactured in the United States, some of it does come from overseas. The ones that are manufactured in the United States, I'll mention this one, that we try to dissuade people. There's a company called TerraCycle. It's essentially a way that companies can buy your guilt away from you, is the way I put it. But they'll say that they can recycle things that generally aren't recyclable. They turn it into plastic lumber. When they do it, it's an amalgam of a whole bunch of different materials, and it's a one-step delay from that going into the landfill because there's no way to recycle that back again. So the issue with recycling is, can you separate the materials from one another? And so plastic lumber is a particularly difficult one to deal with. At the same time, it's got a much longer lifespan. But having come out of a forestry program before as well, if you're doing sustainable forestry for the woods, then you might not need that plastic lumber as well.
I hate to open a whole other can of worms, but actually I don't. I'm going to do it anyway. There has been discussion about the city and the county about construction waste and the recyclability of that, particularly concrete. Concrete is apparently pretty recyclable. I'm no expert in this, but we have had conversations about the potential of providing some very low incentives to contractors to recycle construction waste. And actually, the building industry has been very willing to do that. Some counties that were a surprise to me already do that. I think Sarasota County, Lee County, very conservative sort of counties, have already started construction waste recycling programs. So I think there is potential for us to do that as well. Off topic, but somewhere near it.
Mr. Islam, I congratulate you on your attitude toward the changes that are coming across the country and across the world. In some places, people who are purveyors of these things are dead set against it, at least at the beginning. Carl gave us an example. There was a huge fight down there. After it went into effect, some of the small businesses saying, gee, this is great. I wish we'd done this a while ago. Publics that funded a lot of that turned around and started handing out the green bags for free the first couple of weeks and saying how nice it is to be green. In New York City, where they banned styrofoam, which is a biggie, the New York State Restaurant Association said, and this is a quote, they appreciate the efforts of the New York City Department of Sanitation and the mayor's office to enact legislation that moves our industry towards sustainability while recognizing the needs of small businesses via a long transition period and a commitment to educate businesses on the alternatives before finding them. So what you're doing and what these people are trying to do is the way businesses are coming along in this. So I think this is wonderful. I do have a bone to pick with Mr. Williams.
Please do.
You said a while ago to talk to your grandfathers because they didn't have any problems with plastic because it only came into existence in the 50s. I have been working in the conservation field, now called the environmental field, since the mid-1950s, and I'm not that old.
Very true, very true.
I just wanted to point out, you were saying earlier about the, I don't know how much data you've quantified about the cost incentive, about giving a customer a quarterback if they'll bring them, whatever. I feel like, especially for today's youth, the better way to attack that is through education and awareness. Like, I'm a server at Red Lobster, and I'll educate my customers on the problem of straws, because my wife works for the Santa Fe Zoo, so she keeps me savvy on all that stuff. And once I give that information to the customer, a lot of times they'll say, okay, well then skip the straw. So I feel like it's more of a moral thing that you're giving back to the customer, not a quarter, that it's going to make them want to do that more.
Throughout this discussion, I've heard some really good stuff about recycling, which has nothing to do with that. Just for all chemists that are out there, I'm sure there's thousands. Plastics are different things. Okay, sometimes there's plastics that are, if you know it, there's seven different things. There's high density polyethylene, there's low density polyethylene. These things can, China was using it, they can be consumed, they can be recycled. I think it's burying your head in the sand to try to, well, we'll have to ban this, and then we look around here and there's all this other stuff, as you said, construction stuff. We need to learn how to recycle stuff. And one of the ways to recycle stuff, because some of it, polystyrene comes from oil, some of it, polyethylene and polypropylene come from what? Natural gas. Those things there can be burned because we have a facility out here. It's a Title V. They can be done and we can actually, what you said is exactly right. We do not want polystyrene floating down the river. Okay, that's exactly what we all want to do. Let's make it. There's two ways to do that. One is to try to ban everything, and the other thing is to try to recycle everything, or a combination of the two, where we try to not use as much as we can. That's what we call compromise. Okay, but the ACC is absolutely committed, and that's the American Chemical Council, to get, because of the fact that China decided to, all those containers that came over with all your cheap lawnmower parts and stuff, they went back with all of the cheap plastic. Okay, it was a great, great relationship. Doesn't work anymore. We gotta get to this recycling. And if we can burn things, as I pointed out, the value, the BTU value of that is much better than what we have from wood, and about the same as coal. It really is. There's some great studies on it. Some of the people in other counties use that, the way they call it waste energy. Our thing, I don't want to use waste energy because there's a lot of other things that come out of it, but polypropylene and polyethylene have very little other things, and polystyrene also. Because I think it's what we should be looking at, as rather than trying to agree. We all agree that we want to limit this use, but let's try to recycle stuff. Let's try to do it. And we have this facility in this country. We own that facility. We can actually burn stuff. And it works.
Question. Doesn't that release some toxins?
No, ma'am, it does not. It's polyethylene. It came from then.
I beg
your pardon? Polyethylene just comes from natural gas.
What about polypropylene?
Polypropylene, nothing. There's no. These are food grade things. There's no additives there. If you see things like color and stuff, that's what's there. We're trying to get rid of polystyrene. Now, polystyrene has a blowing agent in it. Back in the old days, they used CFC.
I'm going to just ask some of the other questions. Okay. If you have a question.
I was going to say, with all due respect, it's reduce, reuse, recycle. Mm-hmm. You have to reduce first, mm-hmm. you recycle second. Mm-hmm. The whole point of this committee is to talk about the fee versus the ban. Nobody likes the word ban. Has a negative connotation. Everyone's going to throw their arms around it. I worked at Publix for 5 years. Publix is trained to ask, would you like plastic bags? I tried for 1 week to ask for paper, or did you bring your bags? The negative. Sorry, I get a little bit. Anyway, the negative response was astronomical. Every once in a while, you'd somebody, oh, I didn't think about that. They'd run out and get their bags, or they would take a paper. It's just a different mentality. So you have to attack that side first. Banning, as terrible as it is, will make people think about that. They will stop. I can't use this now. What can I do? If you were to implement a fee, instead, it gives people an out. Oh, yeah. I just paid 10 cents. It'll be fine. It will definitely reduce. But as a lot of them have said, there hasn't been enough research done on reducing versus banning to have those types of impacts. So it takes places like us to make a fee or make a ban and then study it to see how long it's going to take for those things to make effect.
Does anyone else have any other questions? For the panelists.
I used to do work with little kids, so a question has a question mark on the end of it when you state it.
So this final set of questions for the panelists.
Yeah. So this was on the card and it didn't get asked, so I apologize. But since we have an open forum, when I recycle the blue and the orange items and they go to the recycle place versus the trash in the trash can to the landfill, right? So you all go through that, and then what happens? Is it burned? What do you mean by recycle? What then happens? Is that stuff that truly is recyclable? How is that recycled in the last account?
So one thing I'm going to mention is that this is supposed to be to discuss the polystyrene and single-use plastic bag ban. And so if someone wants to address this question, I'm happy to have them do so, but if we can, after this, focus on just the ban questions, that would be great.
So when it goes to the recycling facility at the Levita Brown Environmental Park, what they'll do is they'll have county employees who sort through that material. There are some things that are not recyclable, and those are going to end up going to the landfill. Most of what goes in is recyclable. They separate it by commodity, and then those commodities are marketed to a variety of industries, vendors around the country to make them into new products. Typically, that's not going to be burned. It's going to be used to make a new product. Where it goes every week or month depends on who's buying and how much they're paying for it.
Okay.
you had looked at the codes, are we talking health codes that you had looked into?
The U.S. food code.
Okay. Oh, the food code. Okay. Are there any health codes that surround the people bringing in their own containers and that type?
I did not look into that.
Okay. I can speak to that for campus. Yes, there are some, and it depends. It's sort of regional as well as state level. What we frequently see on campus is anything that is going to go across the pass, so back behind the counter, typically will need to have a lid that could be removed. So if your lips touched it, they don't want to see it come across the back, and that is for health code reasons. One of the interesting things that we see, though, is that because we're a migrant community as well, we get people from all other different municipalities. Some of the other locations have extremely strict health codes on that, and so you may wind up with one location versus another treating it differently because you've got different health codes coming from around the country, too.
Thank you.
Oh. The reason for the polystyrene foam ban is for health reasons, to do with things that handle food. Having them manufactured and burning them is after the fact. What they leach into hot foods in particular is what we want to get rid of. Pakistan, for example, they have decided to ban disposable cups and plates made of styrofoam after a scientific panel declared the material unsafe for packing food items. That's Pakistan. So, we have a world problem.
Yes, please.
In the United States, we use CO2, okay, which we are breathing out.
Excuse me, this woman's going to be asking a question.
If we decided on a ban or a fee versus a ban, would there be a time limit on the fee? Because again, like you mentioned, the goal is to reduce and potentially eliminate what's going into our environment. And so would the fee be more of a short-term fix to kind of ease people into the idea and get people educated and starting the discussion of how difficult this is, or would it just be a blanket fee and then there we go?
That's not really something we've had a lot of discussion about, because fees probably need to be instituted by the state rather than us. So really, it's not fees. I would like to be able to use fee as a tool, but I don't think it's possible for us to be able to do that. It's probably for Florida municipalities, including ours, it's probably ban or nothing.
I see it as more of a short-term fix than a long-term fix.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if national businesses, for example, Walmart, Targets, things of that nature, how are they affected by this proposed?
So how are chain, businesses chain and restaurants affected?
Or would they be?
Yes, they would absolutely be. They would be the last folks who would be excluded from something like this. They're causing most of the waste. The interesting thing for me is that they already operate in places where these bans exist. So they have a template for how to do it. And if you'll notice, there are some national businesses who are all international businesses who are way ahead of this. McDonald's stopped using styrofoam years ago, probably 20 years ago. Many, when the dinosaurs roamed and I was a kid, the McDonald's packaging was all styrofoam, but now it's all paper, and it may be wax or something, I'm not sure. It's probably not great, but it's not styrofoam anymore. They're also, I've read recently, going to paper straws internationally, McDonald's is. So there are businesses who are already making these strides, but again, the Publix's and the chain restaurants and those folks, they're already operating in municipalities where these bans exist, so they have a template for how to make it work here, too.
Here, we have time for one more question.
I'm glad you brought that up about McDonald's, because that just happened this past week. They're going to, because UK and Ireland have now banned in their countries plastic straws, they are starting in September, McDonald's will use only paper straws over there. And they're also starting this year here in this country in select restaurants changing to paper straws. So I'm discouraged that we're so timid about a ban. I mean, if countries can impose this on small and large businesses, I don't understand, you know, there's going to be some pain no matter what. Whether we don't ban or do ban, there's going to be pain one way or the other. But nationally, this is catching on. Yeah, and is your commission aware of this?
I'll be happy to respond. Yes, we're all following it pretty closely because, again, we'd like the industry to get ahead of it. We'd rather not have to ban things. It's not fun to be on the banning end of something. This is an uncomfortable process for everybody involved. We don't want to put anybody out of business. And we're trying to be careful with that and give some time in the middle. And that's why we're taking time, is to help businesses come along, to help the education process come along. We want to have as few unintended consequences as possible. Because even though it seems like there are a whole lot of places who are doing this and who are making news every time they do, most municipalities, I mean, there are 412 or 13 municipalities in Florida, and they're going to be just a handful that do this. It's going to happen on state levels and on federal level before it really makes an impact. We're making a statement as much as anything else. Fact is, you're going to be able to go to Stark and buy styrofoam. You're going to be able to go to Ocala and buy styrofoam, because those cities and counties are not going to change, more than likely, until they're forced to by the state. We are doing this because we think it's the right thing to do. We're trying to do it in a way that hurts less than it could if we just slammed the door. It's going to be a little inconvenient for everybody, and it's going to be financially painful for a few people. We're trying to make it as little of that as possible. But I'll tell you this, we talked about the Florida Restaurant Association earlier and some other folks like that. They're going to come after everybody who's a part of this. So, you know, have a little sympathy for us as you go, assuming we do this, because we're going to take a lot of heat before this is over and done with.
Well, okay, one more question, and that will be the final one.
I'm not sure that it's been made clear the difference between different single-use plastic bags, because I think about the dog poop bags that the city has in the parks. I think about public produce bags. I think about the crinkly ones that you might get at Walmart or somewhere else, and the ones that I would call real plastic that are kind of soft but thicker. What are you really proposing to ban, all of them, or how do you define single use?
Again, there's no ordinance yet. There will be a list of things in the ordinance. Primarily, when we say single-use plastic bags, we're talking about Publix plastic bags. Not just Publix, but the ones we all think of. What you get at checkout at Publix is what we're primarily talking about. And Walmart and anywhere else. They're used because they're cheap. They're cheap and easy. And they're only cheap and easy on the front end. You know, there's a very expensive back end to this. And that's what we're trying to stop. I want people to be able to pick up after their pets. I mean, I want that to, probably those plastic bags will remain for some period of time. My guess is that at some point, though, we're going to need to work on, not necessarily the Gainesville City Commission, but a government entity is going to come down on those at some point. These are all things we lived without many years ago, and for a long time, pretty well. And we're going to have to figure out how to live without them again, whether it's the Gainesville City Commission doing the banning or some other entity at some point a few years down the road. We're going to come to a reckoning when we say, this is not tenable anymore. And we're trying to get in front of that with a few of these products. But when we say single-use plastic bags, what I mean specifically is those ubiquitous checkout counter bags.
Well, thank you all for attending tonight. Again, as a reminder, please sign up for the email list if you're wanting to learn more about the city and county and what their plans are and when they have workshops such as these. Thanks for our panelists for attending.
Thank you all.
we're talking about. To be very available and balanced.
People can sign up here.
Okay, fine. That's awesome. Nice to meet you, Matt.
Nice to meet you, too.
That was really good.
We've been working with Mark Ross. Okay.
Yeah, he was my advisor.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right. I was wondering who, since you were SRE.
Okay. So, because I did more like stormwater, research cost.
Yep.
We're working with Mark. We've done a couple of like workshops.
We don't have a specific time for
urban ecology type work that he does. That's, you know, a little bit of the wavelength that we're working on.
I would say that
he needs to develop some
So
we're recommending people.
What you need to do is put the van in.
We're doing a lot of this Yeah, Mark was actually, we were his first 10 graduate house when he finished.